You're listening to the Faith Unpacked podcast.
Welcome back to the Faith Unpacked podcast. This is episode 148. My name is Jason, and normally with me in conversation is Jamie, co-host, and yet he asked me, well, we were asked actually by some of our listeners to give our story and to share a little bit about where we came from. I think it's always interesting to hear testimonies and to know how people came to Christ. I think I never get tired of hearing how people came to the Lord, and every conversion to Christ is a miracle. And so in that sense, even if you maybe have a testimony that isn't as much of a shocking transformation story, it's still the power of God at work saving people. And that's a bit what my story is like. I think we had Todd Miles on a few months back, and he said that he had a testimony like what every parent wants their child to have. And in a sense, that's similar to me. I came to Christ at an early age. I am a PK, which means pastor's kid, if you're not familiar with that acronym. And so I was immersed in this from an early age. I remember from the age of six, my parents invited me into their room. They explained the gospel to me. They explained that I had sinned, very clearly. And they said, I need to take that step of faith and trust in Jesus, and encouraged me to do that. And I remember even that day being really happy about that and just telling my siblings, hey, guess what, guys? I'm a Christian now. And I was baptized, I think, about a couple years after that. But in any case, I remember just, growing up in a pastor's home, you're being fed regularly. We did family worship time or family devotions and read regularly from the Word of God. I remember in particular, the Picture Bible was very helpful for me. I know it's kind of funny because it's the Bible in comic book form, but it was really helpful for me to help me understand as a young kid what the biblical story is and to see how it all pieces together, how Moses fits in and how Noah and David and Joshua and all these characters that maybe if you don't have a kind of a pictorial version of the Bible, it's hard to understand how that all works, how everything fits together. But I was thankful for that, and that my parents both encouraged me from an early age to ask questions. And I think that's kind of my nature, that I'm always asking questions. I want to know, how does this fit together? How does this work? And I still haven't gotten over that. That's just who I am. I'm always poking at things. And even recently I talked with my parents about the topic of the millennium, and I had questions, and I was, seeing what they thought and telling them what I saw. And it's just, that I think is a great thing to encourage in your children. If you're a parent, encourage them that freedom to ask questions. Sometimes parents may be really concerned about, oh, wow, this isn't good. It seems like they're doubting, or they're now saying they're not even sure God exists, or they want to know reasons for believing that Jesus really did die on the cross. These are good things in a sense that this means they're thinking through their faith, and every person needs to own their own faith. They can't, God doesn't have any grandchildren, and so we have to come individually to Christ. That's the way it's set up. We have to have that personal relationship and growth in relationship with Him. So I'm thankful that that was encouraged from an early age, and I really did have just the best parents in terms of they walked with God, they pointed me to Christ. My siblings, thankful for them. They were obviously, I was the youngest of four, so they were obviously models for me in many ways of, they just what they did, I wanted to do. And so when they are going regularly to church with my parents, going to youth group and things like that, being involved in Bible studies, that encourages me. That encouraged me to want to do that. And it just shows the impact that really everybody in the family can have. Now, skipping ahead a little bit, when, I mean, there were different times of, you could say, bursts of growth, maybe in my walk with the Lord, but in times of stagnation too. But I will say that it was roughly, okay, so this was the summer of 2011, where I was at the time hoping to be in hotel management. And I was doing an internship over in Philly. And I remember I didn't really get plugged in with a church that well. I did for a little bit, but it was, you know, I was just very busy that summer, and I was working overtime every week, and I hadn't made time for really the Fellowship of Believers. I felt like something was really lacking there. And I remember just seeing how there was a lot of celebrities. This was a very nice 4-star hotel, and there were many people who, you know, baseball teams and athletes, celebrities that came to this hotel. And I remember thinking that, you know, despite having so much in terms of earthly wealth and fame and all that, there seemed to be just this emptiness to so many of their lives. And in terms of when you see what they're like in person, when there's no crowds around, I remember that getting my attention, that they seem sad, for lack of a better word. They didn't seem like they were fulfilled in many cases. I'm not saying they all were this way, but maybe those you would expect to be riding high and loving life actually didn't seem to be that way. And other things that got my attention were just the amount of crime and just the general suffering in the world. What I saw firsthand, or what I heard about firsthand, I should say, in Philly, but also beyond that, it was a time that my attention was grabbed in many ways. And I felt that God was using that time to show me the emptiness of life without Him. And anyway, when I came back home from that internship, my, at the time, girlfriend, Whitney, now my wife, encouraged me to, well, she asked why I wasn't part of the church regularly. I was missing a lot of church because I was working so much and going to school and just being extremely busy. And she asked me why I wasn't doing that. And I kind of said, well, I've got these goals, and I'm trying to aspire to career. I need to make sure I'm on the right track. And I made all these excuses. I don't remember exactly what I said, but looking back, you know, bonehead excuses for not going to church. And she said, you know, what you really need to be doing is, well, actually, she asked me first. She said, have you been reading your Bible? And I had to admit at that point, I had not been reading my Bible, not regularly anyway. And she knew that. And she said, you need to be reading your Bible. You really need to grow. And it was a sense in which she was encouraging me and prodding me, but also doing it in a loving way, where she was expressing concern for me and just the general, I don't know what you'd call it, but the lack of spiritual growth she was seeing in me was a problem for her. And I'm thankful that she said something. And so I would attribute that conversation to really, in many ways, changing the direction of my life. God used her words to really pierce to my heart. I realized in that moment, I'm not living for the Lord as I should be. And I remember picking up a Bible soon after that and just reading and reading. And I continued to read through the whole Bible over the course of the following year. And even more than just one time in the New Testament, I read and read, and I just absorbed it all. And even though I was also at school at the time, I was in college, I remember making time for that, because I realized how important this is. And I it wasn't a chore. It was like I was drawn to it. I was excited. I was spiritually energized to read scripture. And it's like I couldn't wait getting up early. I wanted, before classes, I wanted to read as much of the Bible as I could. And all I can say is that God used His word to completely change the direction of my life, in terms of, I was so sure I was going to go down this particular career in hotel management, and I was aiming for that. And He showed me He had a different plan for me. And all that to say, I ended up believing that God has called me to full-time ministry. I didn't know exactly what that was going to look like, obviously, and I just, you know, it's not as though God dropped a full life plan packet into my hand and said, here's what we're going to do now. But I sensed that this is where I need to be at, the full-time ministry. And so I was a little bit intimidated to tell Whitney, because here she is my girlfriend and I plan to ask her to marry me soon. And I brought it up to her and she said, I already know. I already know that this is what God has called you to do and I'm on board. And I remember that just, I already knew that that was the direction I needed to go, but that just kind of sealed it. That was like a smile from God on this. This gave me peace, because here you are, you're changing your whole plan of what you're going to do, and your future wife, I knew she would be my future wife at the time, is on board and she wants to go with this. And so we ended up getting married, and I got some counsel from a good pastor friend, Pastor Matt McCollin, who's been a mentor to me over the years. He said, when I asked him about, should I pursue this right away? Should I go into seminary? What should I do? He said, you know, hold off a year, continue to serve alongside your wife. But your that first year of marriage, just make it about building that solid foundation in your marriage, your relationship with Whitney. So thankful for that advice. And I ended up, just pursuing Whitney really for that first year. And then after that, after that first year of marriage, I started going to seminary at Western Seminary in Portland. So thankful for all the professors, the classes. It was just an incredible time for me. Incredible time of growing in the Lord, but also learning just the basics of how to interpret and teach scripture, how to glean from church history. So many things that today have impacted the way I preach and teach came from Western Seminary. So thankful for all those guys. And I met Jamie at Western Seminary as well. It was after class one day, I think it was probably theology one, if I'm right, if I'm remembering right. But anyway, he and I were talking about something specific that came up in class, and ended up just talking for a little while out in the parking lot. And, you know, we exchanged numbers and said, hey, let's keep the conversation going. Let's keep going on this. And anyway, he has been incredible encouragement to me. Our friendship has just really blossomed from that time. And it's so good to have a brother in the Lord who is faithful to the gospel, it was his idea to do this podcast, and he wanted to do it with somebody, and he decided it'd probably be better not to do it all by yourself. And I agree that usually that's the case. Recording episodes with somebody else is so much better. Anyway, he invited me to join him in that. We didn't really have a solid laid out game plan. We just knew we wanted to talk about the faith and help explain it, unpack it for people. That's where the name came from. And anyway, he and I have really been blessed to do this together for now. Well, he's going to probably have to correct me, but I think it's over 3 years. I think it's somewhere between 3 and 3.5 years. Anyway, I'm super grateful for him and for the impact that Whitney has had on my life as well. And now I'm currently serving as the pastor at The Gathering in Corvallis. And that's where I get to preach every Sunday morning. I get to preach on from the Word of God on subjects I love, that have impacted me over the course of time. And I get to share that with others. And it's a blessing beyond imagination to be able to do that. I'm so thankful for it. Beyond that, I don't know how much I can share, other than I'm thankful. And I have a lot of hopeful expectations for where God is taking myself and my family. And I'm excited to see what the future holds for The Gathering. And I'm also just super thankful for the way that this podcast has been used to touch others' lives. I, I love hearing from our listeners and them sharing what particular episode or what topic especially encouraged them. And because, you know, we don't get to directly interact with our listeners. So just hearing, getting emails from you folks and hearing from you in different ways, it's such a blessing. So it's good to see God using even a podcast, you know, in a way like this. So I'm thankful. Thanks for listening to my story.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Faith Unpacked podcast. We're so thankful for your time. We hope and pray that these encourage your faith and walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to hear past episodes, you can find them on our website at faithunpacked.com. We'd also invite you to subscribe on your favorite podcasting site. If you have any questions, feel free to hit us up on social media, or you can send us an email at faithunpacked@gmail.com. And we invite you back next time as we continue to unpack our faith together.